Good morning, you guys. It's good to be together here, isn't it? All right, hold on, I have to get adjusted. So today we're going to start a three-week series on gratitude, and I'm going to give kind of a messy overview of gratitude. I'm going to talk about my personal experiences, trying to be a grateful person, both positive and negative. But then we're going to be rescued next week and the following week because Brian and Ginny are going to talk about gratitude. And I'd like to kind of give you a heads up in that we may say things differently. And we might even contradict each other. And that's okay because gratitude is, I'm discovering, a surprisingly complex subject. And it is sparked or not sparked by very personal, very diverse situations and experiences. And I need to confess to you, this is part of the messy part, that I'm drawn to gratitude in the same way I'm drawn to exercise and healthy eating. I know it's good for me, but apparently you can live without it. And gratitude for me has turned out to be something like a New Year's resolution, where it sounds like a great idea January 1st, and then by February 1st, you've forgotten all about it. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to do a mini-series on gratitude. And the other reason is it's November, and Thanksgiving is actually one of my favorite days because it's a day devoted to Thanksgiving and to gratefulness. And in a world that is never satisfied and always needs more, in a world that is all about the latest and the newest, in a world that deliberately creates dissatisfaction with what we have so that we will replace those things with other things, well, frankly, a day devoted to gratitude just seems remarkable. And I'm also well aware that Thanksgiving, if you've ever had kids in school and preschool, is based on a kind of a mythologized or sanitized version of real history, and I know that's problematic, and it should be problematic for people. I don't want to gloss over that, but I want to focus on the fact that you can have Thanksgiving without accepting the false history that's behind it. You can still have a day devoted to thankfulness and gratitude, which again seems remarkable, and is so countercultural. When you think about it, think about every other holiday we celebrate. We begin months in advance, right? The stores, like it's Christmas in the stores. It was Halloween since the middle of, maybe the beginning of September. But think about Thanksgiving. It's like a week of stuff they can sell us, and then it gets the bum's rush. Like the minute Thanksgiving's over, it's kicked to the curb, and then you have no memories at all of Thanksgiving, right, in the stores. Because you can't make money off of grateful people, can you? If people are content, they're not going to spend money. So Thanksgiving gets the bum's rush, and so I kind of want to bring back this day of gratitude. And frankly, the other reason I'm attracted to this topic of gratitude is that I really just want us to think about and to ponder and to wonder what it would be like if we all, individually and collectively, were a more grateful people. What would the world look like then? There are sermon notes in the app, in the little liminal app. You just go to, I guess it's sermon notes. There are sermon notes. You don't need them for today. You may not need them at all. The only thing I have in there is like a couple points that I'm going to try to make. I have some additional resources that you might be interested in. I think I have a quote, and then there's a lovely poem about gratitude by E.E. Cummings. So that's all this, that's on the app. So in thinking about today's message, I began to wonder, what is gratitude really? And how does one become a grateful person? And am I an ungrateful person because I don't count my blessings every day and do a lot of those things that grateful people do? And how does one go about practicing gratitude? And is gratitude as important as I think? So we probably each have some personal experience with gratitude. Things like, and these are the easy things, writing thank you notes, saving grace over a meal maybe, keeping a gratitude journal, counting our blessings when we're having trouble sleeping. And there are many, many, many Bible verses about gratitude. And I'm just going to mention a few of them. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. In preparing for this message, just me looking at what I thought I knew about gratitude revealed that I've been carrying around a lot of assumptions about what gratitude is and what gratitude isn't. And I thought that maybe you have too. So I did what I always do when I discover I have no idea what I'm talking about. I find someone who does. And this is the book that I used. I've been reading it for the past couple months, reading it and rereading it. And it's a really good book. It is by no means the only book about gratitude. There are so many out there. She actually has in her, she has a million footnotes and notes, and they're so there's lots of resources, and some of the resources she used I put into the sermon notes. I'm so indebted to this book that much of what is coming out of my mouth, I didn't write. It's from her. I'm trying to give her credit for the direct quotes, but there are going to be words and phrases and sentences that I'm using that come from her. And as I read the book, I realized that the author and I had the same dilemma. We know that gratitude is a good thing. I mean, even the world says gratitude is good for you. There's all kinds of reasons. It makes you more resilient, more positive. We know that the Bible endorses thanksgiving and gratitude and gratefulness. But both the author and myself do not characterize ourselves as well, we don't characterize ourselves as ungrateful people, but we also don't feel like we could say that we are consistently grateful people. So thankfully, she decided to research and learn and practice and discover what gratitude is and isn't. And her journey has been immensely helpful to my understanding. So I'm going to start here. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to raise your hand or answer. Just think about this for a second. How often do you feel a sense of gratitude or thankfulness? Would you say at least once a week, once or twice a month, several times a year, seldom, or never? Just give you a few seconds. That's a big spectrum of gratefulness, isn't it? Now, statistically, a majority of people who responded to that question feel a strong sense of gratitude at least once a week. Which to me is incredibly interesting, because how we feel individually does not seem to correlate with how we are as a society. We may be thankful individuals, or at least wish to be perceived as thankful individuals when we're taking a survey, but there's very little in the world around me that leads me to believe that we are a thankful society, or even think we are a thankful society, or even aspire to be a thankful society. Collectively, these days, we are quite aggrieved, dissatisfied, malcontent, and we may very well believe that it is either foolish or impossible to be a thankful society. And maybe the disconnect that we have between how we feel or say we feel as individuals and how we act as a society is that we might have a faulty understanding of what it is we should be grateful for. So I'm going to begin by talking about what gratefulness is not, what gratitude is not. You might disagree with me, and that's what the conversation that happens after the church would be a good place for us to hammer some things out, and I am most definitely in the process of learning what gratitude is. But what I think I've learned is that gratitude, gratefulness, is not based on a transactional relationship. You do something for me and I do something for you. You give me a gift and I write you a thank you note. I open the door for you and you say thank you. You contribute to my political campaign and in return I get things done for you. Now, two of those things are very nice and helpful in polite society: saying thank you for a gift, saying thank you when someone does something nice for you. But one of those things, contributing to political campaigns and expecting something in return, is a bit problematic. But the main reason I mention these three things is that they are, to me, no longer examples of gift-giving and gratitude, because they all come with strings attached, even the polite society ones. Perhaps you felt guilty for not writing a thank you note, or you felt slightly aggrieved when someone didn't write you a thank you note. Or perhaps you've done something nice for someone, like hold the door open for them. Or maybe the person in the checkout line ahead of you is short a few dollars, and so you just say, oh, I got it, that's good. And maybe if they don't acknowledge what you did, opening the door, helping them with their grocery bills, even with a cursory thank you, you're likely to think to yourself, what a jerk. So there is this social and cultural element to gratitude, about how we think about gratitude and what's a gift. And there is also these days quite an emphasis on a self-help aspect to gratitude. Studies show that expressing gratitude is good for your physical and your mental health, kind of like exercise and eating right is good for your physical and mental health, apparently. But people who are grateful report more happiness and joy, fewer symptoms of physical illness. They're more optimistic and satisfied with their lives. They're more likely to offer emotional support to other people. They feel an increased sense of connection with others. And they even sleep better. And that's nice, but it feels like, it doesn't mean that's not true, but it feels like it's another notch in the transactional gratitude system. I do this and I get these benefits. The next bit I'm going to say might make some of you uncomfortable, makes me uncomfortable even saying it. In recent years, there has been a trend in Christianity, and I'm pretty sure in other religions, to acknowledge our blessings and the things we are grateful for. And that is a good thing. Please do not hear me saying that that is not a good thing. But there are some uncomfortable things swirling around that. And I can say that because I've participated in it. A few years ago, I started each day by letting God know what I was thankful for. So far, so good. But a few weeks into it, I noticed that what I was consistently thanking God for was material benefits, for security, for an absence of serious problems in my life, for the fact that things were going well. And again, that's not bad, but I was also using, again, not bad, religious language. Thank you, God, for blessing me with this great place to live. Thank you, God, for blessing me with the fact that, you know, my car's working. But what I realized over time, that in essence, I was thanking God for a life of privilege, for benefits and opportunities that I had that other people did not have. And that felt very wrong, made me very uncomfortable, and it made me realize that I actually didn't know what I'm supposed to be feeling grateful for. So I just stopped. I don't want you to think that I just stopped being entirely grateful and turned into a curmudgeon, although some of you know me well and kind of could say, well, she kind of did. But I just didn't think any more about gratitude. I just didn't give it any more thought until I assigned myself this message. So that was one of the benefits of being on the teaching team, is I had to learn something. I'm still in the process of learning something in order to get up here. Now, I am very confident that none of you are as shallow as I am, and I know that many of you, either intuitively or through your faith, have a far better understanding of gratitude than I do. And you have very different experiences of gratitude than I have. And again, the conversation afterwards would be a great place for us to talk about that. So now I'm going to ask you another question. I'm not going to, again, you don't have to answer, and I'm not putting anybody on the spot. If you don't have an answer to this question, that's okay. But I want you to think about a time when you felt immensely grateful. And I'm just going to give you a couple scenarios that might help, and then I'm going to stop talking so you have time to think. You did not get hit by the oncoming bus when you stepped into a busy street. You're at an incredibly Christmas week shopping mall. It's packed with people. Your toddler wanders off. You have no idea where your toddler is. And someone returns your child to you safe and sound. The person you want to marry says yes. Or after months of planning and getting into shape, you reach your lifetime goal of climbing Mount Whitney. All right, so now just think. Think of a time in your life when you felt immensely grateful. So don't worry if you didn't come up with something. I'm not a very good on-the-spot thinker myself, so I would probably be sweating this out if I was in there with you. But in these moments when you feel this immense gratitude, what happens? You may feel just completely overwhelmed by this feeling of gratitude. You feel like running around and saying thank you to everyone, the bus driver, the strangers on the street, the heavens, the person in everyone in the mall who kept your child safe. You have this overwhelming desire to say thank you. And whatever fear or uncertainty or stress you felt up until those moments is replaced with relief, with surprise, with humility, with appreciation, with wonder, with awe, with joy. And so here are three things we might be able to say about these moments of gratitude. One, the situation matters, right? Two, gratefulness and gratitude, it's not a single emotion. It is a complex stew of far-ranging emotions. And three, gratefulness is often, most often, an unplanned response. So one of the things I'm learning is that gratefulness involves recognizing that a circumstance, an event, or a situation is a gift of some sort, something that we benefit from, something that surprises us, something that we could not plan, and we have a strong emotional response to it. You may have noticed that I'm using the words grateful, gratefulness, gratitude interchangeably. And I'm doing that on purpose. All three words and a fourth word, a very important word, Eucharist, the word we use for communion. All of these words come from the Greek word charis. And that's the word in our New Testament which is translated as grace. A profound theological word. Grace means unmerited favor. Grace is what God has showered on us. All that we've been given, all that we've been showered with, every moment of our life is a gift to us. And to be grateful is to live in recognition of this. See, I think my earlier problem with figuring out how to be more grateful was that I was under the impression that God had selected me for specific blessings. Like God was my personal benefactor, and he had specifically targeted me to have those specific things. And that is a problem theologically, and it's the problem that Diana Butler Bass has an answer to. My way of thinking, she says, raises a host of questions. Why were you saved from the epidemic and not your children? What if the sky brought forth tornadoes? Did God send the storm to destroy your village? What about next time? If God does not pay your bills, does that mean God is withholding gifts, that you are being punished? That you did not say thank you enough last time and now God is mad? Making God a personal benefactor in these cases creates difficult questions about God. However, in the New Testament, there is an interesting verse about gratitude. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every gift and every act of giving is a reflection of the light, the most diffuse of all divine metaphors, shed upon the whole world, a light that shines everywhere, all the time, accessible to all. I want you to notice in those verses how the emphasis is on the generosity of the gifts and the fact that the gifts, the light, is not targeted for some here and some there, but is for everyone. So the author goes on to say, these words echo Jesus' claim that the sun rises and the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Yes, the New Testament records some specific targeted miracles, but far more often, Jesus speaks of a wildly untargeting God, one who lavishes drunken wedding guests with even more and finer wine, who throws seed around with abandon, who issues invitations to the unnamed poor to dine, who throws a party for a profligate son, and who multiplies fish and bread so that thousands might not eat once, but twice. On a massive crowd relentlessly pursuing him, he showers blessings. Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who hunger. Standing up on an ancient hill, Jesus yells out, presents for everyone. These gifts are not targeted, they simply are. They are not obligations to be repaid, rather they are gifts to be enjoyed. There are no expectations of exchange, no transaction involved. Every moment of our lives is a gift, and every moment of our lives is an opportunity to be grateful. We can choose gratefulness. And all around us every day, we have opportunities to be grateful, but we don't notice them. We can cultivate our awareness of all these gifts around us, but we're usually rushing, in a hurry, or it's because we've developed other habits. I have neglected gratefulness, and consequently, I have unintentionally cultivated the habit of noticing everything that is wrong in the world around me. In fact, it's clear that today the whole world is well practiced in these habits of fault finding, complaining, and feeling shortchanged. We're swimming in ungratefulness. But we can replace these habits with other habits. There are intentional practices that help gratefulness become a way of life. Prayers of thanksgiving in the morning, grace before meals, a gratitude journal, prayers of examine in the evening. These practices of gratitude create pauses in our lives. They create stops or pauses in our day. And then being intentionally grateful in these pauses reminds us about the gifts that we've been given, what we find joyful, what we find joy-giving in our lives. And these practices help to remind us of the many gifts in our lives. And over time, with practice, we will find ourselves seeing the gifts as they occur, not just recalling them later. Seeing, appreciating, acknowledging the gifts as they happen, moment by moment by moment in our lives. And I think that is what the scripture verses about gratefulness are pointing to, that we have the opportunity to sing his praises, to be grateful, moment by moment by moment. Gratitude can be cultivated, and these practices are a method for, or a way for, living gratefully. And perhaps the reason that practicing gratitude has so many physical and mental health benefits is that we were created to be grateful people. We were created to live in gratitude. And there's one more important point, well, it's important to me, but that I want to make about gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness. And that is that gratitude is relational and communal. Gratefulness sees life as a gift. Grateful people recognize the abundance of gifts from the giver, from God, from the Holy One. Recognizing the gifts, being grateful for the gifts, is a way to keep us in relationship with the giver. Opening our hearts to this constant flow of receiving and responding that happens all around us all the time helps us to become more generous with the people around us. We see that they are, as we are, in relationship to the giver and to the giver's creation. This author also helped me see that grateful people are not blind to the fact that gifts are abused and hoarded or polluted and defaced, that not everyone sees life or experiences life as abundance. Giving thanks in all things does not mean giving thanks for the bad. It does not mean accepting injustice or suffering or oppressive systems. In fact, it's just the opposite. Gratefulness is not just a personal practice. It's an ethical way of living in the world. And gratefulness can be a form of resistance against systems that inhibit the flow of gifts to everyone. Grateful people work for the good of all because grateful people recognize our interdependence. God gives all gifts. We receive them and pass them on to others. The ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, that's us folks. And we have the potential to be the grateful society in the world. Well, I'm going to close in a second here, and I just want you to know I recognize that I've given you a giant overview, and I've given you points that could be unpacked even more. But what I'm going to say now here for the end is that this is what I hope you remember for this, from this, or this is what I hope you want to explore further. And this is it. God is always in the business of giving, of making things alive, of vibrancy, of shalom. And we are the image bearers of God. We give and we receive because we live in His image, the image of the abundant giver. And because we know that the gifts are all grace, unmerited, unearned favor. God's gifts are always visible and lavishly given, and never more so than in Jesus. Jesus is the vast and expansive love of God, filling the entire cosmos. There is no place we can be where we are not brushing against, walking among, breathing in the gifts of the Holy One. And I hope that together we can help each other know this. I'm going to ask the band to come up. And while they're setting up, I'm going to close in prayer. This is a prayer I did not write. It was written by a pastor named Steve Garnass Holmes. And I hope you'll join me in prayer. For the bewildering mystery of being alive, Lord, we are grateful. For this amazing communion of saints that is the body, how it all works, thank you. For this blue planet, cornucopia of life, teeming with beauty and strangeness, wrapping us in its flow of giving and receiving, thank you. For the people who have helped us, given us gifts, walked the road with us, even unknowing, even by accident, thank you. For what we can do and the faith to do it, thank you. For light and for sound, for the sense of touch and the sense of humor, thank you. For music in the world and in our hearts, we thank you, Lord. And for all our struggles, we are grateful. For the lives of people we miss, dear ones now, even on the threshold of death, thank you. For crows and hummingbirds, turtles and whales, for the sound of the sea and the wind in trees, for your always here grace, your delight in it all, your love beyond imagining, we thank you. Help us live the way of gratitude. In all things, welcome or not, pleasant or hard, in all things, in every moment, gratefulness, thank you, thank you, thank you. And amen.
Thank you, Catherine.